Hello and welcome to the Guardian Film Show. In the dog days of summer, with the Olympics behind us and autumn to come, it's a time of grinding solitude, romance gone stale, and old men desperately trying to relive past glories. But enough about us. Let's see what's happening in this week's film releases. Coming up on this week's show, Sly Stallone, Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger are over the hill and picking up speed in The Expendables 2. Robert Webb and Lucy Punch are tying the knot for the benefit of the cameras in The Wedding Video. And lonesome recluse Sandrine Kimberlain is rescued by a pigeon in the French drama The Bird. But let's begin with Take This Waltz, a Toronto-set love triangle directed by Sarah Polley and starring the great Michelle Williams as a young woman torn every which way but loose.
Hey, hop in, I'll give you a ride.
Oh no, that's fine. We'll make it if we walk.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am.
I've always wanted to ride in one of these things. It is awesome.
Really?
Really? Yeah, come on, what are you doing?
We have enough time.
Michelle Williams stars as Margot, a freelance writer who is married to recipe man Lou, played by Seth Rogen. But Margot likes Daniel, her bohemian neighbour, and Daniel likes Margot, so life is complicated, angst-ridden, and bedeviled by choice.
Congratulations, Beth. You all in?
Oh, boy.
This will be one for the history books.
Hang on.
Oh!
Hang on.
I'm joined now by The Guardian film critic Peter Bradshaw. Peter, I know that our colleague Catherine Shaw saw Take This Waltz in Toronto and adored it.
Yeah, I mean, there is what I can only describe as a sensational disagreement between Catherine and myself. It has had good reviews. There are very serious critics who like it a lot. I can only say that I really didn't like it at all. It made me break out in hives. I found it torpid, bland, supercilious, kind of drenched in a kind of whimsy and a weird sense that even though these were 20-somethings, they seem to behave like 40-somethings or 50-somethings. They seem to be so middle-aged in their kind
of
reaction.
Sometimes like kind of 6-year-olds. There's a lot of sort of baby talk.
Yes, there is that other weird thing that they're having baby talk. And the really strange thing about this movie is that on paper it is, as you describe it, it's about a love triangle. It's about sexual tension. And yet this tension isn't there in practice in the movie. They all seem to drift around in this kind of indie fog of kind of gentle ambient understandingness. I just couldn't stand it. And there is, well, towards the end, there is a sex montage, which is simply one of the most extraordinary things I think I've ever seen.
You've seen a lot.
And I've seen some filth on screen. I just thought this was really, really weird. Really weird film.
I liked it more than you. I'm kind of not quite at Catherine's level of adoration.
Right.
But I thought that Michelle Williams, I think, is a great actor and is doing a very difficult job with this role because she's fundamentally self-absorbed, the character of Margot, and not a likable person at all that we're supposed to identify with her back and forth drifting, which does go on at an interminable length. But I thought that she did hold it. I thought Seth Rogen was rather good as the sort of bland but pleasant husband.
Yeah.
And yet, there's a crucial lack of jeopardy here.
I mean, an absolute lack of jeopardy.
Away
it's weird.
From her,
it's almost as if they're on another planet.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I mean, I think Michelle Williams is great. Seth Rogen is all right. He has a weird way of doing the line readings where he speaks, I think, 30% too loud at any stage. But that's something he does anyway.
Yeah.
Sarah Silverman is in it. This really
good
comic.
She's good, I thought.
Well, she's okay, but there's nothing for her to do in it. I mean, Sarah Silverman and Seth Rogen are razor-sharp kind of comics, brilliantly attuned to irony and cynicism and knowingness. And there's nothing in the air to breathe in this movie. So they do it straight. They do a technically perfectly good job. But I don't see anything there for them.
Is part of your discomfort with this film the fact that it does show you the inner workings of a marriage that's slightly on the turn? And it's almost like it's like peeping behind the curtain. We shouldn't see how people are behind closed doors with their baby talk and their play fighting. There's something a bit queasy about that, but actually it's almost brave to show that, isn't it?
There is something interesting in the baby talkness and how it's killing the sort of sex in their relationship. I understand that. And there is something real in a way, uninteresting and uncomfortable, but real. That's true. But surely to make that work dramatically, you have to show the spark that's provided, allegedly, by the outsider, this other guy called Daniel, who is this painter, played by Luke Kirby, that she's supposed to fall for. And he seems to be no really more interesting than her husband. And her relationship with him isn't any more interesting than the relationship she's having with her husband, really. I mean, if you'd have told me that they were the discontented couple, I would believe you. And in a sense, they are. Yeah. They are automatically and immediately discontented with the relationship which they are developing. And it doesn't seem to be very joyful or exciting or exhilarating. And perhaps most crucially, it isn't really in the slightest bit sexy.
I feel like being out in the world with you. Can we spend the day together, please?
Yeah. I want to know what you'd do to me.
Wow.
Michelle Williams sort of wanting to leave her husband there in Take This Waltz. But if you want real high-stakes Jeopardy, how about The Expendables 2, in which the villain has stockpiled plutonium and only a bunch of 80s has-beens stand between us and Armageddon? Old action heroes never die, it seems. They just turn into big, leathery, self-regarding jokes. Here comes Stallone, Willis, Schwarzenegger and Van Damme, dunked like ribs into the barbecue sauce of a mercenary romp in which guns go off and trucks flip over. Van Damme wants to blow up the entire planet. The Expendables are out to stop him.
Yes!
Peter, is it good to see all the old crocs back together again, again?
Again and again and again. Yeah, it kind of is. I think what's interesting about this movie is that it's a weird spectacle of Sylvester Stallone saying, look, everyone, I have got a sense of humour about myself. You can see that the great man's mind has sort of worked through it and he understands.
He's sort what of we all understood
what 30 years ago. What we understood long ago, he has sort of thinking, he's saying, yeah, I get it, guys. I get it. It's kind of funny that I'm doing this, but I understand that, and this is all about that in a way. I thought it was all right. I think it's you see them. It's not the first time we've seen all these guys together in that slightly mutual congratulatory way that they have. I mean, you know, they all got together ages ago to promote Planet Hollywood in roughly the same spirit. You know, some good stuff in it, some entertaining stuff, some you know, honest to God action mayhem. Some pretty good stuff. Jet Li, once again, is being treated rather oddly, I thought, in this
disappears
movie.
Disappears.
He sort of disappears. Again, he seems to be being bullied for being Asian in the most extraordinary way. At least he's allowed to beat somebody up in this movie. In the first one, not only did he get bullied in a frankly racist way, he wasn't even allowed to get stuck in. He wasn't allowed to kind of be violent to anybody. Now he does get, you know, he gets a few kind of blows in. Now there's a few extra people. There's Liam Hemsworth, who's brought in as the young guy. He's the new blood, the fresh blood.
Yeah. He's only 52.
Yeah. Sly Stallone has this rather touching kind of Burt LeClos-like fatherly relationship with him.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme as the bad guy.
Jean Villain.
As the Jean Villain.
Which Villain. Is great,
the surname
isn't it?
Is the clue.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the European
don't
guy.
Trust someone called Villain.
No, I don't trust anybody who's European as well.
Oh, no.
Yes, exactly. He was the obvious choice. But it wasn't that long ago that, you know, aging action stars weren't all that unusual. I mean, Where Eagles Dare had
some
aging guys. But there was no question of making ironic jokes about it. They were just heroic guys. And
they were old pros.
They were pros, exactly. Exactly. You didn't mock the afflicted in the same way.
There's a great zip wire scene where they come through the jungle on zip wires. And
yes,
I was thinking that they were going to get trapped
Boris Johnson. Like Boris Johnson, yes, exactly.
And that would have been a great gag.
That would have been a great gag, but I can't imagine having to sell it to Sly Stallone on set. I can't imagine some young director having to say, Sly, we want to make a fool out of you. And I think you would get... Sly would put his cigar out in your eye socket if you tried that.
I now pronounce you man and knife.
You and your little psychotic gang of mutts. Today is payback.
The movies remind us that saviors can come in all kinds of strange and unusual forms. Sometimes they come as 60-something brawny soldiers of fortune, and sometimes as humble pigeons.
En disant toujours non à tout, c'est pas possible, c'est pas humain.
Tu me demandes pas de nourrir.
Non, mais je suis sûre que ça va.
If you're in the market for a somber, minor key French chamber piece, then The Bird may just be playing your tune. The brilliant Sandrine Kibelin plays the grieving recluse who shuns her colleagues and lives alone. Then one day she is visited by a bird.
Peter, I keep saying that the bird is a saviour, but one of the interesting things about this film is that it's a strange agent of chaos as well.
It is. I think what I find really interesting about the movie is that the bird is a very ambiguous metaphor. Either it's a symbol of hope in the most sort of hackneyed way.
Yes,
it's the phoenix rising flame, blah, blah, blah. Or it's the agent of chaos, but it also could be the absolute opposite of hope. It could be an indication of like a kind of verminous infestation, and her life is just becoming a ruin. She's becoming an old kind of guano-encrusted statue, and her life is falling to pieces, and there are birds flapping around her, and that's what's happening. So maybe it's not a positive symbol, it's a negative symbol, and she is kind of having to come to terms with this possibility herself. So I found it a very interesting film.
Yeah, I really liked it as well. And Kibelin, I think, is great. I saw her in this film Mademoiselle Chambon last year, where she was superb in that too. And she's great at that pent-up, withheld emotion.
It's an intriguing film. It's very involving. And I very much enjoyed Kibelin's performance.
You'd say it's very involving. Would you recommend that wholeheartedly to anybody?
I'm not sure I'd recommend it to anybody and everybody. If you like a kind of introspective movies, it's quite cerebral.
If you like grey stories about one woman's loneliness,
yeah,
is for you.
Yes. I mean, you can't recommend it as a double bill with Expendables 2, right? Really. There are markets for both movies. This is kind of a highbrow, specialist, recondite movie, but it's good.
After the grinding, abiding, agonising loneliness of being, it's probably best to end on a note of drunken tomfoolery with the wedding video.
The wedding was perfection, but Jackie hadn't finished. Zanna was going to sing for us.
We are cordially invited to attend the wedding of Robert Webb and Lucy Punch, with the happy day recorded for history by his idiotic best man. Rest assured that there shall be wild drinking, noisy arguments, and the odd embarrassing encounter. This is the wedding video, shot by comedian Rufus Hound, but actually directed by Nigel Cole.
Cut the smoke!
Go, go! Get out!
Peter, I got kind of trapped amid the loneliness of the bird, so I actually haven't seen the wedding video.
Okay.
Did I miss the film of the year?
Not the film of the year, but it's funny. It's a kind of good-natured, likeable, goofy, and unpretentious wedding rom-com made by Nigel Cole.
Calendar Girls and Made in Dagenham. Okay.
And written by Tim Firth, who wrote Calendar Girls. It's good stuff. It's funny. The idea is that the best man is making the movie. It's a sort of a found footage sort of thing. It just about hangs together in the manner of, say, Blair Witch and Cloverfield. It just about hangs together like that because he's supposed to have made it and presumably edited himself, just about. The best man is played by Rufus Hound. And how you like this movie may depend very much on how you like the comedian Rufus Hound. He is kind of a new quantity, as far as I'm concerned. I didn't know much about him. He looks weirdly like a cross between Eddie Izzard and Ricky Gervais in a weird way. Some people might react against him, I reacted in favour of him. On the whole, I thought the movie was kind of funny. There were lots of huge visual gags. It was written in such a way as to keep those gags coming. It was kind of inventive. It had lots of outrageous montages and silly stuff. But it also had some quite funny, and possibly very funny, small roles by Harriet Walter, who plays the mother-in-law,
right.
I think rather well, and Miriam Margolis, with an outrageous cameo as the reactionary and fantastically right-wing and horrible grandma, again, very posh. It's it's nothing to write home about, maybe,
you know,
the movie.
It sounds awful. No, almost everything that you're saying, it sounds, I'm kind of sitting with a sort of fixed smile, as if I'm listening to a best man speak.
No, my God, it's terrible. I should sit down now before I kill it stone dead. It's, what can I say? I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. There's nothing like more likely to kill a comedy stone dead than for me saying it's funny, and here's why. I don't want to start reading out the gags, because that will, I'm afraid that will have the unfortunate effect of proving that it is in fact unfunny.
But there's like two wedding videos being shot, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's the slapdash one by
the
best man,
and then there's a professional one. And there's a professional one that the mother-in-law has brought in. Now, I think this is quite clever, because not only does it create kind of competition gags between the amateur and the professional, but it explains away the fact they've got shot and reverse shot in crucial scenes, because the professional videographer is standing behind one character and the amateur standing behind the other.
See,
and they've managed to.
It's sounding more interesting. Well, it sounds like Rashomon. Yes. Is it like Rashomon?
No, not really. Not really. It's not like anything respectable or highbrow or art house whatsoever. It's closer, I have to say, to movies like Confetti or Nativity, those very kind of Brit, sort of sloppy Brit, kind of puppyish Brit movies. And again, I realise I'm putting a downer on it once again. But what can I say? There are funny things in it. Kevin Eldon, the actor, who plays a wine merchant, again, he comes on, very funny, very funny. And Rufus Hound is funny too. And Lucy Punch, again, You know, the jury may be out on Lucy Punch, but I thought she was funny in this. So I would say it's kind of a DVD rental or a download, more than going to the movies to see. But it's funny.
You do. You get the almonds just at the end, don't you?
It just nips in there, doesn't it? When everything else has gone out the door, the almond just nips in there.
I can taste licorice.
And licorice as well. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well spotted. Yes.
Do you have any others with licorice?
I think. Yes. Hold tight.
Now we're in business. Jill? That's lovely.
I'm getting mango.
Are you?
Yeah. Mango.
But jasmine as well? A bit of jasmine in there?
Pretty Moorish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely, yes, thank you. Now, this has a lovely, herbaceous, a green aroma.
So we can compare them. Let's get another of the one before.
Can you see the bottle opener anywhere?
You're so funny!
It's a happy happiness.
It's a happy happiness all round. And plenty more where that came from.
You just see what you want to see, don't you? You just bloody see what you want to see.
More hilarious hijinks in the wedding video there. And with that, I think we've given you the tragedy, we've given you the romance, and we've given you the funny, though possibly not intentionally. I think that covers all the bases. That's about it from us. My thanks, as ever, to Peter Bradshaw for joining me, and thanks to you for watching. See you next week.